Blog Talk Radio.
Mama Etta, Etta.
Good afternoon, friends and family. This is Mama Etta coming to you live from Las Vegas. It's about 91 degrees here today. In fact, I love Las Vegas this time of year. Now, I'm going to do things a little differently because I have a very special, special guest in my house today. And this is Mike Hercules Weaver. He's the WBA heavyweight champion, beating John Tate in 1980 and winning the belt in the 15th round. Mike, are you there?
Yes, Etta, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. I've heard a lot and read a lot about you. Friends and family who know me know that I'm really not into boxing. And so this is going to be a learning experience for me. And I've done some research, so I won't sound so stupid. In fact, I heard the term stick and move, and I called Mike and to find out exactly what that meant. And he told me, hit and run. That's exactly what that is. Anyway, Mike, it's a pleasure talking to you and having you on Mama Etta's Corner today. So what's going on with you today? What are you doing?
Today I'm just sitting there watching television. That's about it. That's about all. I ain't doing anything today, just sitting at home watching television. That's it.
Now, are you still interested in boxing? Do you work with other people, youth, or anybody that wants to box?
Yes, I go to the gym probably three or four days a week and work with the kids and work with, you know, and train a couple of guys up there who want to become fighters. And that's about it.
And what advice do you give them?
Well, I really don't give them no advice. I just, you know, just teach them basic how to box and how to, you know, just to learn the basics how to box and stuff, things like that. For giving them basic, I mean, telling them the ideals, I mean, tell them what to do. That I don't do. I'm not an advice giver.
Well, my thing is, since you do work with young people, do any of them ask what they should do to become a boxer, a professional boxer?
I ask them if they want to take fighting seriously. They want to become a professional fighter, or just want to learn to take care of themselves. They say yes. That's okay. You have to take it serious. Dedicate yourself to it. Train every day. Do what your trainers say. Just take it seriously. That's what I tell them.
I read. That you had to learn the hard way to take it seriously, and that your boy, Ken Norton, he's the one that kind of told you, said, look, man, you know, if you want to be a champion, you've got to take this thing seriously.
Yes, that's what he told me. You know, I said, spoil Larry Holmes, and he told me, he said, Michael, he said, man, if you take fighting seriously and train, you can make some noise in the heavyweight division, but you don't take it seriously, man. You come in here one day, train, and don't see no more for a week or two. You're not taking it seriously. Take it seriously, you can do something. So I took his advice, and I said, that's something. So I did it.
Well, I read somewhere that you didn't work as hard as you should because you like the ladies.
No, that's not. That wasn't the case. No, I mean, that wasn't the case. The case is I just didn't like training. Didn't like training. Of course, I like ladies, but that wasn't the reason. It's just that I sometimes, in fact, going to the gym, I just didn't go. Yes, let's go.
Well, I know you started in the Marines. What made you get interested in boxing? Had you thought about it before?
Hated boxing. I hated boxing. What it was, in the Marine Corps, me and a couple of guys, buddies of mine, went to a base on a club, on the base one day. And this guy went, and I sat down, and I went to the jukebox to play a song. And a guy got there after I did. And, like, he kind of pushed me out the way, so I pushed him back. And he swung at me, and he missed me. I hit him with a left hand and knocked him out. And, you know, then the police came, the MP came up there and took the information. Then a couple of days later, a sergeant, somebody came to my barracks, asked if I'd be interested in joining the boxing team. And I said, man, I don't know if I'm going to box and never fight for a day in my life. And he said, the guy you knocked out was a heavyweight champion of the Marine Corps.
Well, I guess that was a surprise. Are you left or right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Or does it matter as a boxer?
Well, I'm right-handed, so it's usually when you're right-handed, your power's in your right hand. When you're left-handed, your power's in your left hand. So I'm right-handed. So,
but when you said you hit him with the left, you know, that brought that question up.
That's in my left hand.
Which
I later discovered was called a hook. I didn't know what it was called. I thought it was called a left hand.
You was just beating his ass. That's what you were doing, okay? You was giving him a beat down. One punch and he was on his back. So that started everything. So how did you do as far as boxing in the Marines? Did you have to do all the other things that were required of you as a Marine, or did they just let you box?
Well, I did all this stuff, the boot camp stuff, everything. I just boxed on the team. We didn't do anything. That was our job, to box. So we didn't do it. That was it. Just boxing. I think my last year and a half in the Marine Corps. That's when I did it. Last year I boxed.
Yeah, well, PT, physical training, is very important in any sport. And so I imagine that being a Marine and going through the regimen of PT every day was also helpful for you in your craft or making it what it became.
Uh-huh.
That's just wonderful, wonderful. I also read that, and you had difficulties, well, everyone did. Well, you really didn't have the difficulty, but going to South Africa, when you went to South Africa, 1980-ish? You were there during the apartheid fighting Kowetski, is that what's his name?
Gary Kowetski.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Because I read that he was, you know, like Joe Louis and what was his name, Schmeling. You know, he was the Great White Hope. And I read that this guy, Coetzee, he was the Great White Hope for South Africa, expecting him to really beat you up.
Yeah, I think they thought that. I guess we thought that. I mean, everybody was telling me not to go over there because of apartheid. Jesse Jackson, other black activists, telling me not to go over there because of apartheid and the racism and prejudice. And I told them it's racism and prejudice over here also. And I said, I'm not going away as a politician. I'm just going away as an athlete. So, and I took it to my pastor, and my mother, and everybody prayed about it. They told me go over there. Said, go over there. What you want to do? Go over there. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. But they say you took a beating, but in the end you won. So, and I noticed in my reading that happened to you a few times. You know, you're beat up, but then all of a sudden in the last round or close to the last round, you would knock them out. Do you pray while you fight? And I'm going to ask you something I always wanted to know. Do you guys like pain?
I don't. They might know. pain not one of my favorites. I don't like pain. Nobody like pain. And I mean, I really don't take no beating before I come on. I'm probably a slow starter, but I didn't take no beating, no totally beating. A lot of punches that look like the people think they hit me are not really hitting me, at least not solidly anyway. But I never took no beating. If I took a beating, I wouldn't be able to come back.
Right. Well, you know, I also read that, you know, you had fights that they should have made you the winner, but you lost, but you felt, yeah, and others felt that you should have won those fights. Was that one of them? Was what, Leroy Jones or somebody?
Yeah, that's one of them. I had a lot of fights in my career that hometown decision I lost coming up, but you know, it was just things happened, but never, you know. Made me want to quit fighting. I had a lot of bad, you know, bad hometown decisions, and Leroy Jones won one. And I thought Leroy Jones for North American title. That I thought I beat that fight, but I didn't get the decision. But before that, I fought Stan Ward. Got in the running Stan Ward for the California state title, 12 rounds, in his hometown Sacramento. I lost that decision. But I thought I won too, but we fought again later on, 2 times later. I knocked my both times, but you know that I didn't care. Then pulled me down.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, someone putting you down just gives you the energy or the incentive to go far,
exactly,
to go up. You know.
Exactly.
You know, and so. When you fought and knocked out Tate, that was quite a victory. I read some of the what happened during the fights and the different rounds, and that was quite a victory for you because no one expected you to do that.
Right, no one expected me to beat that, and when the Tate fight, matter of fact, Tate had signed to fight Muhammad Ali. The deal's already signed. And the fight, they just used me for a tune-up, and I kind of surprised some people by not just being a tune-up and winning the fight, but he actually was signed to fight Muhammad Ali.
Uh-huh. And so once you became the heavyweight champion of the world, taking the championship from him, he couldn't fight Ali after that?
Well, no. Why should Ali fight him now? He's not the champion. Then they'll talk about me and Ali fighting, and we were supposed to fight. We were supposed to fight, and he was supposed to announce the fight in L.A. And we supposed to go to press conference that day, and my manager told me, we're not going. He said, why? He said, because Muhammad Ali's not going to fight you. He's going to announce that you're going to fight there at home. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Well, you was Muhammad Ali's sparring partner, weren't you?
No. I wasn't sparring. I just sparred him. I just sparred him one time. I wasn't sparring partner. No, not a regular sparring.
Oh.
I sparred out one time.
Oh, I see.
No.
That must have been fun.
It was something to brag about.
Well, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, that's the man.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody loved him. And he was funny.
He was
so funny. Uh-huh. And, you know, like he says, I'm pretty. Yes, he was. But you were fine too, and still are. You know, I'm a lady. You know, this is a blog talk radio show, but I'm a lady, and I am not yet blind, and you're very pleasing to the eye. So was that? Did you? I know you had a lot of people and women, men, just people always hanging on you. How do you get rid of those type of people that only they want to shine within your brightness?
Well, when I didn't hang around too many people hang around me. My family was enough people hanging around me. So because I really didn't go places. No, I didn't go to the place where the celebrities go at. And I was a homeboy. That's all I was. So and I didn't really live that lifestyle. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I did go to party club sometimes, but you know that wasn't me. So I didn't have hangers on me other than my family. That's it.
You know, well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And because most of us think that you boxers, you know, just like blues singers, have lots and lots and lots of ladies, you know, in every city.
No, that wasn't me. I don't play in every city.
You're just blushing.
I am, but no.
Are you married? Have you been married? I know you have children.
I've been married before, yes. I've been married.
Yeah, because I read what, you have two children?
No, I have three daughters.
Three daughters, okay.
Three daughters.
Uh-huh. And so your daughters, are they athletes or interested in sports?
They were in school, but now my daughters, they're older and they're grown now. I mean, they was in high school, they ran track and played basketball. That's my oldest daughter, but she's now 45 years old. And my other daughter, she's an airline attendant, and my baby daughter is turned 25, so... So that's why she's not in sports. So that's why they put the just about.
So you're able to fly to everywhere in the world, huh?
I guess I want to fly. I don't like flying.
You don't like going anywhere,
do you?
You're always just home doing your thing. Is that it?
No. I always want to go. My sister, she goes to Vegas almost every other day. And Linda, I want to go. I want to go to Vegas with you. When you go, okay, I'll go. I'll you can go with me. And I'm waiting for her to go. I'm waiting for her to call me. Say she's going. She's already in Vegas. You know, she goes
without you.
Without me, yeah. I think my baby sister. She is, yeah.
Next time you come to my town, make sure you get in touch with Mama Etta.
Okay, I will, but like I said, I ain't been to Vegas in two years now. But my sister go all the time, but you know, she likes gamble. Next time you go to Vegas, give me a call, I'm going to go with you. Okay. And next time I know Facebook, she said, I'm in Vegas having a good time.
My. So tell me, was Ken Norton a nice guy?
Well, Ken Norton was very nice. Ken Norton was nice, and he was funny. He was a nice guy. I mean, he really was. I like Ken Norton. When I first met him, I think Eddie Flutter came to me and asked me. He said, "Hey, I've been watching the gym. We'd like to work with Ken Norton." And for his first fight, we were fighting on Ali and Bob Foster car. I said, "Sure." That's how I started. But he was a very nice guy. Very, very funny.
So. All right, yeah. You know, I met his wife, and we were going to do a benefit for him before he died. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But what I had read, and because I didn't know him, again, I knew his name, but, you know, I don't know nothing about boxing. I just don't like to see people hit each other, you know. I just hate pain personally. And anytime I've watched I'd be flinching and feeling every punch. So I don't really, you know, get into that. But I always respect those of you who have gone through all that and have gotten belts and titles and accolades, things like that. So I do respect, you know, I know everyone's name, George Foreman. In fact, when Sugar Ray Leonard won the Olympics, he and I was on a U.S. show together with Bob Hope at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. I was in the Army at the time, and I do remember watching him fight, you know, during the Olympics. But, you know, I really take my hat off, you know, to all of you who have, you know, gone through what you've gone through to be, you know, a leader, to be a winner, to be a champion. And yeah. So people need to know you don't become a champion easily. And they have to use the example of champions like you who learned along the way that you needed to practice, you needed to go to training, all of that.
Yep.
And young people today have to know that no matter what sport you want to do, you've got to practice, you've got to train, you've got to give up a lot of the things that you're doing, give up the computer games and get into the gym or on the track, whatever, you know, your endeavor is. And I'm sure Mike agrees.
Yes, of course. I agree.
Well, yes. Because you've experienced it yourself.
Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. So do you go to, you know, I don't hear much like about heavyweight boxing anymore. Do they have any heavyweight champions?
The United States don't have any heavyweight. Yesterday we got Deion Wilder. He's a heavyweight champion out here in the United States. The other two champions are not from the United States, Joshua and Tyson Fury. But Deontay Wilder is here. He's from the United States heavyweight.
Because the other guy, Mayweather, he's
Mayweather.
A welterweight or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Welterweight, yes.
Have you met him ever?
I never. I met his father, but I never met him.
Because his father's his trainer, isn't he?
I think his father and his uncle, Roger, his uncle and father are trainer, yes. Both of them, I believe.
Because I went to somebody's birthday party, Bob Jones or something like that, and he was supposed to be one of the trainers for Floyd. Or Lloyd Mayweather, whatever his name is. And I don't know his name. You know, I was calling him Merriweather for a long time, but I don't know the first name, Floyd or Lloyd, something like that. And that goes to show you how much I am into boxing, and he's right here in Las Vegas.
Right, where were you at in Vegas?
Well, honey, he could fight next door. I will never see him. You know, I will never see him. But I don't, like I said, it's just me. But it's a sport that's been in existence since the Bible days. And so it is what it is.
Yes, that's right.
Do you see any of the old guys that you used to see when you were out there with your belt over your shoulder?
Not really. I haven't seen them in a while because, like I said, I haven't went in the fights myself. I haven't went no fights in Vegas or nowhere lately. I just watch everything on television, so I haven't seen. Maybe I see some of the old fighters at the Hall of Fame. next month. I'm getting inducted into it in California, but I'll see some of them there, some old fighters. But I don't see them every day.
To the Hall of Fame. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, we had a little technical difficulty here.
Okay.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. When does that happen?
I get inducted to the West Coast Boxing Hall of Fame on the 25th of next month.
25th of September?
Yeah, in September, yes.
Well, congratulations.
You're welcome.
You don't seem very excited about it.
What if we do, hop up and down? Yeah, I already did that.
Yeah, do that. Yay! Put a picture on Facebook of you jumping up and down. Yes, that's what I'd like to see.
Okay, I will when I get inducted.
All righty. Well, that's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And so are you going to have a party or?
Not a party. No, it's a, you ever been to a Hall of Fame inductee before?
My father was inducted to the West Coast Blues Hall of Fame. I'm a child of a musician. And so I was at the one of those Marriott, Hilton, one of those hotels.
Oh.
And I accepted the induction plaque, you know, for my father and gave a short speech. You know, thank you very much, Dad. This is for you. See you. And
that
was it.
That was Marriott in L.A.?
That was in Sacramento, I want to say, or Oakland, one of those.
Okay.
I think it was Sacramento, California, because it was the West Coast or the Bay Area Blues Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm.
Yes, West. That's up north, I guess. Yeah, because the first time, I went to California Boxing Hall of Fame was at the Marriott Hotel in L.A. World Boxing Hall of Fame. Yeah, is at the Marriott Hotel. In L.A., that's the first one I went to in the 70s, 80s.
And who was being inducted at that time?
I've been there. When Ali got inducted there, Ken Norton, me and Ken Norton got inducted in California Hall of Fame in 2003 together, same day.
So how many Hall of Fames are you been inducted to?
I've been inducted to the New York Hall of Fame, California Boxing Hall of Fame in 2003, and this one. This will be 31.
Wow, wonderful. Well, Mike, I really enjoyed this interview. I've learned a lot, and I know my family and friends who listen to this blog talk radio show, I'm sure they've learned a lot, and now they know how dumb Mama Etta is in regards to boxing. Because I really don't know, but I enjoy trying to find out. Anyway, Mike, I want you to say so long to my friends. And do you have any words to give anyone?
Well, I just want to say thank you all for listening to me speak. I'm not much of a speaker. I'm always kind of shy. But I want everybody to have a best day. That's about it.
Well, God bless everybody. And this is Mama Etta and Mike Weaver. We're signing out for the day. You all take care.
Mama, it's time.